So I wanted to take a look over in Isaiah chapter 7. And what is going on here is that Israel is under attack. And the people are discouraged, and you know they're trying to turn back to God. There is, you know, a revival there. And so the Lord speaks to Ahaz. Ahaz was one of the kings. He was the king at that time. And the Lord tells Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. Now this was a very unique opportunity that God was asking or was giving to Ahaz, because the Bible is very specific. We don't tempt, we don't test God. Alright? And so there's only one place in Scripture where we are encouraged to test God, and that has to do with giving. Okay? And God will always, you know, reward His people, and we're encouraged. Test me with here, says the Lord, and see if I'll not pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. And but here Ahaz has a personal invitation from God. God is saying, I want to show you that it's okay. I want to show you that it looks dim now, but there's good news around the corner. And Ahaz, he chickens out. And he says, oh, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test. Alright, and so here's this beautiful opportunity. I tell you what, if I ever found myself in a quandary and the heavens part, the heavens opened and the clouds parted, and the voice of God says, go ahead and just test me, just ask me what you want for a sign that I'm here and I'm, you know, I'm working on your behalf. Man, oh man, I mean, what a wonderful once in a lifetime opportunity. So then Isaiah, the prophet, he's there, he sees what's going on, and he just has a fit. He's saying over in verse 13, then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? You know, it just, guys, come on, take advantage of this. This is wonderful. And then, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, keep in mind that they are besieged. Keep in mind that it's looking really, really dim. And he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, and he shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, I lost my last part of it. Hold on just a second. There we go. And choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. Okay, and so these two kings that had come against them and just really look bad for them, they said, man, they are going to be defeated. It's just going to be a wasteland. All right. So what had happened, there was a young lady, probably a princess in the court, that was with child. And Isaiah is saying, now she's with child, and when she gives birth to this child, you're going to name him Emmanuel. Because in Hebrew, Emmanuel means something. What does it mean? God's with us. God is with us. And that's what Israel needed to understand. Yeah, it looked dim, but God is with us. Amen? And so they needed to get a fresh, you know, injection of faith and get a little excited about the fact that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And so then he turns around and he says, and by the time that this baby that's going to be born is old enough to know the difference between good and bad, which I don't know when that is. You know, the basic understanding comes, you know, 3 or 4. You know that if you touch this, you're going to get your little hand slapped, so you don't touch that anymore. And so it could be, you know, 3 or 4, a little bit older. But what God is saying through Isaiah, before this child gets to that age, by the time he gets to that age, that those two kings that you dread so much, wasteland. Nothing. Nothing is there. Okay? Now, we have learned in our Wednesday night services that God, when he, when his prophets proclaim a prophecy, there is always a near fulfillment and then a far fulfillment to that prophecy. That's why God is just so, I mean, he's just so outrageous. I mean, he can go ahead and proclaim a prophecy for this particular situation, which at the same time, 800 years later, is going to be a prophecy that addresses this situation over here. And so we have a lot of, well, just about every one of the prophecies that we see in Scripture have a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. So here, in Israel's distress, God is saying, remember, I am with you. And I'm going to work it out so that within a matter of a few years, these two kings that bother you so much, gone. Their armies, gone. Their land, desolate. All right? So what a wonderful encouragement this was to God's people back in Isaiah's day. But it doesn't end there because, as I said, there's a near fulfillment which Isaiah and Ahaz experienced in their lifetime, but there's also a far fulfillment. So we read over in Matthew chapter 1, that now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. All right, do y'all remember back when we were growing up what would happen if a young lady got pregnant before she got married? Okay, and she got shipped off to Aunt so-and-so, or if you were Catholic, yeah, they got shipped off to the, you know, the wherever, and then she would come back a year later, and she's no longer with child. Up in our formative years, it was truly a shame to become pregnant out of the sanctity of marriage. All right, and it was especially that way in Jesus' day, so that if a young lady were to be found pregnant and not be married, the penalty was death by stoning. This just wasn't something that was taken lightly, that was death by stoning. And so when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was a righteous man. He could have just said, look, everybody, this girl that is betrothed to me is pregnant, and it's not from me. And they would have taken her and had put her to death. All right. But the angel came to Joseph and told Joseph, no, don't worry about it, because the child isn't from another man. You don't have any competition out there. This child is from God. And so it said that Joseph, being a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace. He planned to dismiss her quietly. So he was going to break the engagement and send her out of the country, wherever. There were Jewish settlements all over the Roman Empire, and he could have sent Mary away to wherever, okay, and just let her have the baby, and he would find somebody else. That was his plan. And that was really loving of him to decide that. Because, you know, if his flesh got the better of him, he could say, you know, this lady has betrayed me, and I'm going to make her pay for it. But he wasn't like that. There was a reason why God chose Joseph to be the protector of Mary. Because he had the right heart for the job. All right. And so while he's contemplating about this, then of course the angel comes and tells him that, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And let me stop there just for a second. It was always the husband, the father's responsibility to name the child. And so Mary was going to have the child, but here the angel is directing Joseph, this is what you're going to name him. He's Jesus, which is the Greek pronunciation of the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means God with, chosen of God, I think. Anyhow, because he will save, oh God, our Savior, that's right, that's what Joshua is. He will save his people from their sins. And then the scripture continues, for all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so the thought that I want to leave us with this morning is that there was a horrendous time in the life of Israel, in the life of King Ahaz. Isaiah is there, he's the prophet, he's having a rough go of it. I mean, they really needed to know that there was a God. And so God comes along and says, yes, I am here. We're going to name this child Emmanuel because it means God is with us. And then, by the time this child is just a few years old, everything that you fear, everything that you've tied yourself up in knots over, gone. You won't have a thing to do with it. It'll all be what God has done. And then fast forward several hundred years, and guess what? The world is tied up in a knot. They need a Savior more than anything. The only reason why you had Roman peace is because Roman peace was you either toe the line or we hang you on a cross somewhere. And they needed, Israel again was under subjugation. They had the country of Rome, the Empire of Rome, under Rome's heel. And God at the right time sent Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. We need to know, and there's some bad things if you haven't been following. There's been a bad earthquake that caused a big tsunami. There's a big hurricane that's been, they had to completely evacuate the last three of the Aleutian Islands because of the tsunami that was coming out of eastern Russia. 8.3 on the Richter scale. That's a big earthquake, okay? And so there are things happening all around. All of our air bases in the Middle East right now, this moment, are under attack from Iran. I need to hear word from some of the people over there to find out how our missile defense system is working, because those are all air bases over there that are under attack. And so there's some bad stuff that's going on, and if we were to know half of what was going on, we would be in such despair, except that I remember the words of Jesus. These are just the beginning of birth pangs. The end is not yet. Alright? So don't despair. God is with us. Amen? God is with us. And one thing that is obvious to me and everybody here, God is the one entity in all of creation that is going to have His way. Amen? If He says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If He says this is what He has planned for us, it's going to happen. Amen? And so in this time, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus says, you believe in me, believe also in God. Alright? God with us. Matter of fact, that's what Emmanuel means. God tabernacles with us, which is why I believe that Jesus was born at the Feast of Tabernacles. Because we know He wasn't born in the winter time because the shepherds don't have their flocks in the field in December. You're going to have sheep sickles out there if you've got those poor things out in the field at the end of December, okay? Because their winter time is our winter time over here. But it was just an accommodation that the early church used to make the acceptance of Christianity a little bit easier, is move it to the end of the you. Move the celebration of the birth of Christ to the end of the year, where the country, especially the north western Europe countries, were celebrating the end of the year, the rebirth in the spring, and all that. It just made it very convenient to just move our celebration of the birth of Jesus to this time, and that's okay. It doesn't matter when Jesus was born. What matters is He was born. Amen? All right, so God with us. Father God, we are so grateful.